How did the name Skillet stick?
Okay. Was it a love of eggs? Yeah. I'm guessing a love of eggs.
Yeah. What was it truly like one of those like just weird, let's call ourselves bare naked ladies.
He loves
meat. You know, and let's just, you know, just, I mean.
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
Yeah,
that'll work.
That's worse.
Yeah.
You know, Skillet's pretty bad. But you kind of nailed it on the head because it was the 90s.
What's going on, America? I am Graham Allen, and we are here on location in Dallas, Texas at the Bomb Factory, and with us is John Cooper from Skillet.
Hey, hey.
What's going on, man?
What's up?
Dude, thanks so much for hanging out with us today.
Yeah.
This is a super cool episode for me. And Alyssa.
I was gonna say us.
Because,
and me.
And Jakes.
And Jakes.
And me.
Yeah.
And you. Yeah.
Because this is one of those, you know, you never think that you're going to be in a position one day to hang out with the people that you grew up listening to that were just, you know, larger than life, you know, untouchable, so to speak. And yet here we are. And Skillet is definitely that kind of band for me. And I know it is. For Alyssa,
yeah, we grew up with you. And they say never meet your heroes. And so,
and John is definitely falling in that category.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
I was worried, you know, because you never know what people are actually like. But you have exceeded expectations,
yes,
just so you know.
Yes,
I thoroughly enjoy getting to know you.
Super down to earth guy. You've got a majestic beard.
Graham's jealous.
But real quick, let's do some business stuff for you. So you guys are on tour right now because this is your new album tour, right?
That's right. Yeah, the new record came out about 2 months ago.
Uh huh.
Called Victorious.
Yep.
And on the road, I think we got about 5 shows left.
Yeah, in the States.
In the States.
Yeah.
Then off to Europe.
How long is your Europe tour?
About 6 weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and so we come back December 16. So we'll have to come back from Europe and go get a tree.
Yeah.
And start eating cookies December 17.
That's
so
right.
What's the, is there, I mean, and this isn't a like, yay, America thing. Are fans more engaged here, would you say? Because some people say that, man, the Europe crowd is intense. You know,
I see what you're saying. I will say there's a little bit of a difference.
Okay.
Europe fans are very passionate.
Yeah.
And they are less trend driven. So they're not like, oh, they don't have a song on the radio, I'm not going.
Okay.
Or, oh, they got a new song, everybody's got to go. They're kind of like, for instance, coolest thing I've ever done was Skillet last year.
Okay.
Opening up for Iron Maiden in
Hungary. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
And you have 60,000 people.
Yeah.
Young people as well.
Yeah.
I mean, age ranges from 15 to, you know, 115
that's
for Iron Maiden. But the point is that people still, they love what they love, and they might listen to Katy Perry and Skillet.
Right.
It's very eclectic.
That's interesting.
So it's a different level of fandom. It's not necessarily more, but you know, if you don't have that new radio hit, that's okay. You go to Europe, they still love you.
They still love you.
Consistent.
That's a nice thing.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so we've saved a lot of things.
Graham has not let me speak to John basically about anything personal.
All day long he's been like, shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
I did not say that.
He really doesn't.
That is a made up exaggeration of what happened. I did say hush a couple times.
But in a joking way.
In a joking way. And the reason why is because we've got... I know I have 2 really cool stories that I want. Well, you may think that's the dumbest story I've ever heard. But like I said, Skillet has been a part of my life since I was around sophomore, junior high school kind of thing. And so this is a really cool opportunity.
I think I was freshman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, eighth grade.
I've been a panhead longer. Yeah.
Jake has been listening to you the ride here. I'm kidding.
Youth group,
seventh grade. All right, so and we've got questions from fans, and we've got a bunch of stuff we want to talk to you about.
Awesome.
But real quick, we want to tell you kind of like how we feel like we're connected to you in a way.
Yeah.
That sounds creepy.
That did sound really creepy.
It's good creepy.
But it's a good creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so
it's a good creepy.
Okay, here we go. All right, so our son's first name is Jonathan. and he was named after one of my best friends, all right, that passed away.
Okay.
And that person is the brother of a lady named Helen Hawkins.
Ringing any bells?
And you and Helen, when you were in mm-hmm. high school, I believe, went yeah. to prom together or something
yeah,
like that.
That's right.
Back in the day. And so growing up with John, his best story that he loved to tell, and at Helen's wedding, in his place, I actually shared this story. He would tell everybody, he was like, do you know how upsetting it is to have a sister that did not make it work with one of the greatest rock singers of all time? Because he loved you guys as well.
He would rag her so hard.
Every time he told a story, he automatically threw Helen under the bus all the time. He was like, my sister is the worst sister ever. He said I could be on tour with Skillet and all this other kind of stuff.
Gosh.
And so that's a really weird way that we are kind of, in a way, kind of connected to
basically
you.
Basically family.
Basically, we're basically family.
We might as well be yeah,
two
in the same
off,
family
basically.
Tree at this
that
point.
That is funny.
And so, I mean, does that, I mean, do you know who we're talking about?
Oh, of course
at this
I
point?
Do, okay, yeah. Okay. And I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that you knew Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
Oh, that's
know,
right. You knew John. Why did that just
yeah,
connect
I didn't
to me?
Know that Jonathan passed away.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
And if he were here, I would tell him that it wasn't his sister's fault because she was one of the nicest people in the world.
Aww.
I was the idiot here.
Oh, yeah.
She is.
Yeah.
John would be like,
a
whatever.
He's looking down right now and saying, that's
whatever.
The most politically
yeah,
correct
that's right.
thing I've
oh, no,
heard
I'm being
in my
serious.
Life.
I'm not being PC. I'm yeah. being serious. But that's just shocking
so,
to me.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Our,
yeah, it's
crazy.
Crazy.
Our oldest
crazy story.
Is named after John.
Yeah, yeah. So
oh,
our
that's
oldest
beautiful.
First name is Jonathan. And so, yeah, you know,
beautiful.
John's a great dude. He loved you guys. Yeah, and then another story that I want to tell you, because I want to test you. And I don't want you to lie to me. I want you to be for real, because I doubt you remember this.
I
okay.
bet he will. Let's
all right.
see. Let's
all right,
see.
Alyssa thinks that you will. I don't think there's any way. So I believe it was the Collide album. All right?
I remember that.
Well, I know you remember the album.
It was a long time ago, yeah. but I remember
okay,
the album.
Okay, dig deep in your thoughts
so
here.
So you guys played in Columbus, Mississippi, in Brickerton Yard outside for a concert.
Okay.
And me and my buddies were there, and we happened to stumble across a box at the concert. And we look in the box, and there's nothing but staff and crew T-shirts in there. So I'm like 110 pounds, and this is like a triple extra large shirt. And we put these things on, and we figure out a way to get backstage. And we actually met you back then, pre-beard, pre-tattoos,
oh my
pre-everything.
Gosh. They were in yellow, right? Yellow shirts? Do you remember?
Like, it was like bright orange shirts.
Oh, bright orange.
And so at the time, we thought we were being smooth. But now thinking back,
there's
I'm
no
like,
way.
There's no way you didn't know that we had not stolen these shirts and snuck back here kind
I
of thing.
I do not remember that.
I oh, told
man.
You.
You
told you he
me.
Wouldn't remember that.
I know. I don't know who to believe.
That is
you
know, a, that is a true true story,
yeah,
100%.
I don't know if I believe you were ever 110 pounds.
That's 100%.
Oh, no. I wouldn't have yeah. dated him in high school. He
yeah.
was little.
Alyssa has made it abundantly clear that
you,
if
baby.
I didn't work out every day for like 12
true.
Years, she would not have
not
even
true.
Remotely
she
given
me some creatine powder
yeah,
for a Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do this
yeah.
and call me in 12
yeah,
months.
Yeah, call me in 12 months. Pretty much.
Brutal.
I noticed you didn't go to the gym today.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't do that.
You've been sick the past couple weeks. When are you going to go back to the gym?
I don't do that. I don't do that.
Anyway, so
he said hush.
Yeah,
I saw he was sign language.
He actually said
he
shut
like,
up.
Yeah.
No.
All right, but
shut up.
But off of the stalkerish stories, right?
Well, I love those stories.
On a serious note, though, your music for me and for so many people have gotten us through so many things. The Comatose album came out literally 2 weeks before we left for Iraq the first time.
Oh, wow.
Me and my group of guys. Mm. And so we had a pass, and we went to Walmart out there, and I saw the new Skillet album and the first Red album. Yeah, they
came
out around the same time.
Same year.
Yeah, exactly. And I bought both albums back in the CD days when people still bought CDs.
What is that?
It's a
compact disc.
These children will never understand.
Compact disc.
Is that what that stands for?
Yeah, I think so.
I think you're right.
And anyway, so yeah, we listened to Rebirthing and all this stuff, and I got the whole unit hooked on it. And going outside the wire on missions and everything, we'd have it blaring and all this stuff. And so your music has been a part of so many things in my life. And so, again, it's just a really cool thing to be sitting here, like, hanging out with you.
Well, tell him our story, though. Wow, that's one I like.
Well, you tell him
our
story.
Okay, so...
And then we got to let him talk at some point. People are like, okay, enough of y'all's stories.
You told us to save it, so I'm just trying... I saved it. So, what was the song you sent me? The very first song you had...
The Older I Get.
The Older I Get. Oh, yeah. So, that song, while Graham was overseas, he wrote me, and that's when we kind of... I don't want to say reconnected because we were so little, but he sent me, they had a whole video montage to that song of like him going on the airplane, them in Iraq, like him and Gary and Ken, all these people.
Yep.
And I had never really seen besides a picture what he looked like now. So that was one of the very first things I saw.
Of
so that song,
video footage
every time we hear that song, that's like our song.
Oh, yeah.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah. It was good.
That entire album.
Crazy.
And I'd love to get your thoughts on this
sure.
as a musician. Because I tell people all the time that people get connected to music, not just because it's amazing music, and you guys are awesome at what you do, but people attach emotion or moments to music, right?
Yeah.
And so I love all of your albums, but the Comatose album... I'm back in Iraq. Like every time a song on the Comatose album comes in there, and so my question for you is, was there like one band, was there one thing that you connected to when you were younger? I mean, that got you through things. I mean, who was your biggest influence there?
Well, you're right. I mean, you're right about the thing about taking you back to a moment in time.
Yeah.
Most people have a story of when they fell in love, the first dance, the first kiss, the breakup, first kid. Right? The first
Why
kid.
Why did you say first kid after breakup? Why did you jump right to
I don't know.
Why did you jump right in that order? You break up, you got
first
a kid.
You know,
I don't know why.
I don't know.
Don't challenge me.
That's amazing.
Don't challenge me. I don't know. But yeah, it's funny how music is powerful like that. And that's why I read a scientific study that I'm going to butcher what it said. But the gist of the study was saying that as like 90% of people will never like any music as much as whatever they heard when they were 14 to 16.
Yeah.
Because
makes
your
sense.
Brain is developing. This is who I am. You're making decisions on your own. It's not my parents' religion or my parents' politics or this is my religion or whatever you choose to do in your life, right? It's an amazing thing that happened with that identity.
Yeah.
And so for me, music was always a part of that. I've had a great life. Lots of people had much harder things than me. The hard things I went through all happened to be mainly in that period from 11 to, 18.
Right.
My mom got diagnosed with cancer. I was in sixth grade. Mm. And she fought cancer off and on for about 3 years. Mm. So it was like a three-year period of, just going home in the room. The house just feels like death, feeling. And chemo, she lost all of her hair. She whittled down to, it was a horrible experience.
Yeah.
And so not wanting to be home, going to my room to retreat to music was always there for me. My mom did pass away. I was 14 when my mom passed away. My dad got remarried 2 months later.
Oh, wow.
I started fighting with my dad. Me and my dad kind of hated each other for a long time, to be honest. And we've come through all of that, and we have a good relationship now, and my kids get to have a granddad, and it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
But that was the hard time in my life. Music to me was like salvation, and that would be everything from Metallica all the way to Christian influences, even like Amy Grant. People like Amy Grant,
okay.
Which is surprising because I like metal so much.
Yeah.
But there would be something about Amy Grant's songs that had a spiritual element to it, but were things I could relate to, but it had a sweetness to it that got me thinking about things that really mattered in life,
Yeah.
But Metallica and... oh gosh, Bon Jovi!
I mean,
everyone loves Bon Jovi.
That stuff.
I don't know very many people
who don't
that
like Bon Jovi.
Don't like at least one Bon Jovi song.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It's just like your rally
if they,
song.
If you meet somebody and they're like, "Do you like Living on a Prayer?" and they're like, "No," they're liars.
They're communists.
I agree.
They're communists.
Yes. Communists.
They are not trustworthy people.
So you don't like music?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You hate children.
That's right. You're stupid.
All right,
Bon Jovi's the
all right. We've got a lot of things to talk to you about. We've got questions. But before we do, Let's get into a sponsor.
Let's do it.
Self-defense is your God-given right, period. But it's your responsibility to practice, which is why I want you to go to your computer right now and get iTarget Pro system. This is the first dry-fire training system to combine smartphone technology with the industry's best laser bullet. Using your smartphone, their proprietary app tracks a laser bullet, which fits your gun and will detect exactly where your shots are landing. iTarget Pro is completely safe, comes with a your caliber specific bullet and target system. Right now, get 10% off plus free shipping with offer code Graham. Train risk-free for 30 days. Return if not completely satisfied, but before you do, go to the range and experience the difference. Take it from me. Dry fire training will develop muscle memory, help with target reaction speed, sight alignment, trigger function, and more. Plus, you'll save a ton of money on ammo. Go to itargetpro.com. That's the letter I, targetpro.com. Offer code Graham. All right, John. All right, so we've got some questions from fans of yours. I put it out today. What would you like to hear on the podcast from Skillet? And so as you can see, we've got a lot. So I have not gone through these. So I'm going
unfiltered.
To just pick some. Some people
terrifying.
Just said, I don't have a question. I'm just freaking excited to hear them. They did not say freaking. I inserted that word.
Let's see.
Some people misunderstood what I said. I said, what would you like to hear from Skillet on the podcast? And some people were like, your actual songs. You know,
that's funny.
Can we skip the podcast and just play music?
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. So let's start off funny. All right. Which one is better for you? Are a hot dog or a taco?
Hot dog.
Hot dog?
Oh, my
really?
Gosh, are you serious?
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I'm all American,
do you know
man.
How they're made?
That is.
I mean, I love tacos. Believe me. I love a taco, but I could eat hot dogs literally every day for the rest of my life.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't even care what they're made out of. Lips, buttholes. I don't care.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what people say.
That's what they are made out of.
As long as there's ketchup, it'll be fine.
All right. Yeah. Let's get the stereotypical question out of the way.
Okay.
All right. The one that you probably get all the time. This new album, what inspired the new album? What doing it as long as you guys have done it now, where do you pull like your inspiration from these days?
You know, I love reading. I'm kind of an avid reader.
Okay.
And I read politics, philosophy, theology. I love all of that stuff.
Right.
And I like to write about what I see happening in the world.
Okay.
And so Victorious, one of the things I feel most passionate about is all of the young people suffering from depression.
Right.
We live in a pretty great time to be alive right now,
very
right?
Very connected time.
I mean, very connected.
Yep.
There's, you know, people, there's not as much extreme poverty as there was.
Mm-hmm.
Economy's going well, but people are sadder and more teen suicides. And I'm reading this going, part of this, I think, is because of this lie that we have been fed that every day is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Every day is
agreed.
Awesome.
Agreed. Yeah. Yes.
And that's not true. Everybody over 30 is like, no, it's not.
No.
It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to struggle through the crap and the battles in order to get to the good stuff sometimes. And so I wanted to write a record called Victorious that's not saying you can win at everything you do. You can do anything you want to do. That's not the point. The point of it is life is going to be hard.
Right. Yeah.
Get used to it. But you can be victorious through it. But you can't give up.
Yeah.
And part of that was inspired because, you know, we lost a bunch of rock musicians to suicide in the last few years.
Yeah.
Chris Cornell.
Chester Bennington.
Chester Bennington, I'm a huge fan of. And I actually wrote a song for Chester Bennington that was inspired by him, which is the title track, Victorious. That was inspired by his death. So I would say that's kind of the gist of the record. It's very much like an inspirational fight for what you believe, fight for your life, don't give up.
Yeah.
Well, the hard times are what make the good times so good.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Some
absolutely.
Some of the best people are people that have just had such an extreme
the worst
battle.
Hand dealt to them.
I was watching Fox News this morning, and Kyle Carpenter, a good friend of ours, he's a Medal of Honor recipient. His book just came out, and he's the guy, if you don't know, he's the Marine that jumped on the grenade.
Yes.
And so, I mean, he pretty much lived at Walter Reed for like 3 years. I mean, he was jacked up. I mean, as you can imagine, you jump on a grenade kind of thing.
Oh.
And just to hear him talk, he is the most soft-spoken, just, hey, man, it's going to be all right. You know, right. You can do this kind of guy. And when I have to get my blood drawn, I'm in a bad mood. Like I am. I am the biggest sissy when it comes to any of that right. stuff. And just to have to think about the stuff that he went through and to come out on the other side of it and, you know, that kind of stuff. Anyway, just some of the best people are the people that have just gone through just horrible things.
Same with same with kids with cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We do a lot of those make a wish, and the kids, oh, I want to see Skillet play. So they fly them out.
That. Yeah,
fly the family out. We meet them. I have never met one of those kids that's complained.
Yeah.
I've never met a kid like, life sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're always happy. Yep. They're like, thanks so much for meeting us. And I'm like, I didn't get to do anything. Come say hi.
Aww.
Your life is hard.
Yeah.
But these kids are warriors.
Yep.
And I'm really inspired by
They've made so many advances in cancer research and treatments and things. You know, I can only imagine what you went through with your mom, because back then, I mean, chemo was this.
Oh, brutal.
It was I mean, people literally just didn't make it through chemo.
Died from the chemo.
Yeah. And now, thankfully, they have it to where it's like outpatient stuff now. Like, you show up, but it's still, to imagine having to go through that as a kid, much less an adult. I mean, it's incredible to think about.
It's some tough stuff.
I would imagine. Sorry, I'm putting things together in my head. I'm processing.
Put it together,
I'm a
girl.
Processor. So Make-A-Wish then would probably be extra special for you, I'm guessing, since your mother. I mean, you would.
Do you especially take those? Because
I love those. Yeah, I love the cancer stuff, especially these kids. I mean. And I just went to St. Jude recently.
Very cool.
Should give a plug for St. Jude, because
they're amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you know, I might get my statistics slightly wrong, but I'm not that far off.
That's okay. I always do. So let's
it's pretty close.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
When St. Jude began, the survivor rate for kids was like 25%.
Wow.
And now it's like 80%.
Wow,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
So I love St. Jude. And it is special to me. Special to me for those
Very
reasons.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So let's this is a good one. All right. So it is for people that know who you guys are.
Yes.
You guys are Christians, and you're very
for good people that know who we are.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I'm joking.
For the Jesus loving people that know. Anyway. All right. So this is a really good question.
Yeah.
And I think this would be super awesome just to hear. How and if they spread the gospel through their secular related shows, because you guys tour with quote unquote secular artists and things. And I kind of want to add to that. So one, whose decision was it for you guys to go that different route? Right,
right.
You know, to say, you know what, we're not going to do just the Christian church shows.
And I'd like to know too if you got a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, yeah. So let's start with
Christians
that first, and then
judgmental.
We'll come back, and then we'll come back to their question. So whose idea was that?
Okay, sometimes people don't understand this, so that'll be good to say.
Yeah,
I've never met any Christian bands who don't want to cross over.
Right.
It's very difficult to cross over. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would honestly say it's a bit of a miracle.
Yeah.
We almost got signed on our second record. Atlantic Records at the time sent out people to watch us play. In the music business, we call them A&R people.
Okay.
A&R people are like the ones that come and see you and they sign you to their label, right?
Okay.
They sent an A&R guy, and he's like, I love this. This is 1998.
Okay.
And I never wanted to be only a Christian industry singer. I wanted to do both.
Mm-hmm.
I was naive to think that I could.
Okay.
Because it's not likely. So they send people out. They said, oh, we love the band. We're going to come back and see you next week. This went on for 3 months. And they kept going, we're not sure. We're going to send another A&R guy out. So by the time we had four different A&R guys come out, and the last one was like, I love it. Call me Monday. Gave me his card. Call me Monday. I want to do a deal. I call him Monday. He doesn't answer. This is after 4 months of the label. So finally, he wouldn't answer me for nearly 2 months. And I finally got on the phone. And he said, man, I just came here. I can't put my balls on the line like this. He's signing a Christian band. People hate Christians.
Wow.
And he just,
people hate Christians.
That was it. I was like, you sent four people here. Come to find out, you typically get signed by one A&R person, not four.
Yeah. Right.
So they were all scared. Well, things years later, they finally liked our record Collide.
Uh-huh.
As you mentioned earlier, we made a record.
I love Collide.
I do too.
Collide
it was so
done
good.
It was made, and it was a rock album, and the label was like, we think we like it. We don't like the Christian thing. It's very difficult because they really just don't like the idea. A lot of people still believe in sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
For me, rock and roll was never about that. It was about the music. Duh. It was Metallica. I never was like, yeah, let's go kill folks. Sex and drugs time. It was just like awesome music, right? Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. You know, was it like, crack cocaine.
Yeah, you know, I drugs all the time.
Me and my friends weren't anyway. It was cool music.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to do. And we finally had a believer. This is a cool story. I think people like this.
Do it.
We end up getting signed by Lava.
Okay.
Lava Records was a smaller label through Atlantic.
Okay.
And the head of A&R at Lava Records was literally the only person in New York City that would take a meeting with Kid Rock.
Really?
Wow.
The only one that took Kid Rock seriously enough to have a meeting in his office.
Wow.
Signed Kid Rock. They sold about 40 million records together. Wow. So this guy,
he did pretty well.
He made some money.
Yeah, he made some money.
His name's Andy Karp, and he was a guy that was like, I just like finding the underdog. And he's a Jewish guy. He's like, I don't care if you're a Christian or atheist or he's like, I just don't care. I like the music. And he just pushed the deal through, and the rest was history. So for me, it was kind of a miracle.
But
a lot of bands want to do it, but there's still a stigma on what Christian music is. And I think there's some Christian music that is very much belongs in the church.
Yeah.
Maybe it's songs you sing at church. And I go, yeah, I can see not everybody relating to this.
Yeah.
Then there's other music, I think, like Skillet. You mentioned Red, bands like that. P.O.D. or Flyleaf.
Yeah.
That sing about stuff that is very similar that you might hear on a Breaking Benjamin record or a 3 Days Grace record.
Yeah.
Etc.
Yeah.
I've always thought, sorry.
No, no,
I've just
ahead.
Always loved how y'all do your lyrics, though, because they're deep. And they're thought-provoking, and they could kind of cross over, but it's very also, like, to me at least, you know it's about spirituality, you know it's about God.
Yeah.
But it's done in such a way, I don't know, I've just always appreciated how y'all have written your lyrics. Yeah.
I think that what it is about Skillet's lyrics that I've identified, I think, but from what fans say, is that they can be interpreted in lots of different ways.
You can.
But there's something about it that feels spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say a lot of people said the same thing about Creed when Creed first came out. Yeah. They're like, is this a Christian band or not? It feels spiritual.
Right.
Evanescence.
Yeah.
And even Linkin Park to a degree.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a lot of kind of gray area there.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's about being a Christian band to me isn't necessarily about the lyrics, because I think that I meet people that are like, I had no idea you guys were a Christian band, you know, and people will tell me, literally every VIP, it'll happen tonight in Dallas, somebody will come up and go, I'm an atheist. I don't get the Jesus stuff, but your music makes me feel good. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, good, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
To me, part of what makes us a Christian band is more behind the scenes.
Right.
It's more what you don't see at a Skillet show.
Well, that feeds into the fans' question is from a Christian perspective, how do you, in this secular world that you find yourself in, you know, and that's a very churchy term, you know, the secular world, how do you express your faith? How do you, you know, share the gospel, if you will, in this world? I mean, is there, do you find you actually have more cool opportunities?
Yeah, I do think that there are really good opportunities, because in my view, the absolute best way to share my faith in Jesus is not by saying a whole lot. You know, it's kind of that thing you always hear people say, right? Actions, right?
Yes.
Let me give you an example. When I was writing my Comatose album, as you mentioned, we were recording the record. Somebody that I had written with, their attorney had, manager had said to my manager, they were talking about a song that we wrote together. Manager's like, hey, we don't want any credit for that, whatever. And the contract was there. And I said to my manager, hey, that's not actually true. He did help me write that. And he goes, well, I'll go out and ask his manager, but they're saying no. Went back to the manager, and my friend's manager was like, no, that's all you guys. It's in the contract. Just sign it. And I said, "I this is just not true. I owe him money, and I don't want to steal from a friend. It's just not good integrity.
Right.
So I went to my friend, and I said, hey, your manager's saying whatever. Here's the contract, but that's not how I remember it. And I don't know how much money this is really worth, but it might be worth $10,000 or $20,000 after a few years, which is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, I can't believe that you would, after my manager has said no twice, that you still want to do what's right. And I was like, well, that's what it means to have good business. Right. Now, you can have good business whether you're a Christian or not.
Yeah.
And sure. You should. But that's not the way that our human nature rolls.
That's right.
And so those are the examples to me that are really cool. I was on tour with a band I won't mention. Literally a week before the tour, one of the band members' brothers killed himself.
Oh, man.
A week before the tour. Mm. And, you know, I didn't know this guy. I didn't want to get in his business. You know, I never met him. But after a few days, just said, hey, want you to know that me and my family pray for you every night. You know, that's what it is. We never talked about Jesus again. But my daughter at the time was six. And for 3 or 4 years, every night, it was like the nightly rotation. And years later, my daughter saw him again. Said, I just want you to know, I still pray for you every night. And you're talking about like a grown man.
Oh, that's wow. Awesome.
Tearing up, you know, wow. Some kid that he doesn't even remember that's saying, awesome. I've been praying for you every night for that. So I think there's a great way to share the love of Christ without preaching to people all the time. Just do your thing.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, we always have said, I know you probably don't listen to our podcast, but I've always been harping on it's relational. It's just relational.
Yeah, that's right.
If you don't have a relationship, no one's going to listen to you anyway.
Well, the best thing that somebody said one time is they said, no Christian can save anybody.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, and so I think a lot of times.
And thank God truly for that.
Yeah, thank God for that. But I think a lot of times Christians view it as like their responsibility to like save
to
you.
To be the
right?
Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. They are
and,
not.
And that's where like that's this exactly preaching right. at people kind of thing is birthed from.
Yeah.
Like that
yeah.
that kind of mindset where actually your only obligation is to basically show Christ in you, right? Like
yep.
that is your job. And you know, maybe your job is to get them to maybe a church service, but it's God's, that's God's lane at that point. It's
yeah.
God's lane to save somebody. Like, we can't save anybody. And anyway, yeah. but
I'm
like
curious
that.
If
I
you
a
got,
good point.
I'm curious if you got a lot of flack, though, when you made
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely some. I think there probably would have been more if we were more of a commercial Christian band.
Makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
we're already
does.
On the rock side.
Yeah.
We're on the fringe.
Yeah.
Some of those people were very angry, and they felt like, they signed this mainstream deal, and now they never talk about Jesus in their songs. But there was a shift that happened in Skillet's music naturally before we got signed, to where I just felt like I'm only singing to Christian people,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to only sing to Christian people. I want to write something people can relate to.
Yeah.
So there are some people still that might not get it. I always have a ton of grace for them,
sure,
because nobody was more against Christian rock music than my mom. My mom would rather me being a drug dealer
oh, no.
than a Christian rock.
Oh,
it was like the worst thing.
That's funny.
It was like the number of the beast was like listening
that's
to rock
so
and roll.
So funny because
so I grew up with it.
I hear Jesus in a lot of your lyrics. Like right. like who do people think that you're talking about when you're talking about, you know, I'm reaching out to you, you know, and all this
right.
stuff.
Right.
Who do they
I
think you're talking to?
I guess a woman, maybe. A woman
yeah.
saves you.
Right.
I don't know.
Anyway, before we keep going, let's get into our second sponsor.
Okay.
A recent Gallup survey shows Americans worry more about burglary than almost any other crime. More than mugging, more than terrorism, more than car theft and murder. According to studies, just over 10% of break-ins are planned beforehand. The rest are spur-of-the-moment crimes of opportunity. In other words, random. Did you know most break-ins happen between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. in the middle of the day? And what's crazy is that 1 in 5 homes actually have home security. Maybe because most companies really don't make it easy. That's why Simply Safe is my top choice. Simply Safe protects your whole home, every window, room, and door with 24/7 monitoring for just a fraction of the cost. Their police dispatch is up to 3.5 times faster because they use video verification. There's no contract, hidden fees, or fine print. Visit simplysafe.com/dearamerica. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now and be sure you go to simplysafe.com/dearamerica so that they know our show sent you. That's simplysafe.com/dearamerica. All right. So one person wants to know, how did the name Skillet stick?
Okay.
Was it a love of
yeah.
eggs? I'm
yeah.
guessing a love of eggs.
Yeah. Was it truly like one of those like just weird, let's call ourselves bare naked ladies.
He loves bare
naked. And let's just, you know, just, I mean.
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
Yeah, that'll work.
That's
even
worse.
Yeah, that's terrible.
You know, Skillet's pretty bad. But you kind of nailed it on the head because it was the 90s. And so people have to put yourself back into a frame of reference that in the 90s, culture was, it was cool to not care.
Yeah.
You know, because the 80s was so what it was. And it was like, we don't even care, man. We don't even get, like, dressed properly. So, like, you know, like Pearl Jam looked like they just came from, like, college
class. Yeah, haven't bathed in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
exactly.
Put my cons and my little flannel on. I don't even care. And so it was kind of cool to not care. But somebody said, you guys are from different bands. It's like taking all these different ingredients and throwing it all in a skillet. And then
someone
was like,
that.
You should call it skillet. That'd be funny. And I was like,
okay.
I mean, the 90s had a bunch of weird bands.
That's
Pearl
so
Jam,
funny.
That's a strange
name. Yeah, that's a weird
Korn.
Name.
Korn, that's
yeah,
true.
Korn is, in my opinion, the greatest living live rock band in the world right now. With a name that's almost as bad as Skillet.
What about Limp Bizkit?
That's Limp Bizkit's definitely worse.
Yeah, that's a terrible. That's
stupid.
That's a terrible. Thank goodness that they were actually really good because you know that was the only thing that saved that name.
Grace.
Man,
they get past
with
name.
A name like that, you've got to be something truly special. So
they had two words in there. They had two words in their name that you'd never want to be in your band.
Yeah,
name.
Yeah, Limp.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Limp.
Who wants Limp? Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Either one.
I heard Godsmack talking about their name and how that came because that's an odd name right? And they were talking about something like bad happened. It was one of those like irony kind of bad luck situations. And somebody was just laughing. They were probably drunk from the sound of it. And they go, "Man, that's a Godsmack right there," kind of thing. And then bam, they're like,
history.
"That's it.
That's the one.
That is the one."
Metallica got their name just by looking in the dictionary. They were just looking for terms, and they saw, like, Metallic.
I played... What's the worst band name that you played in?
I don't know. Skillet.
Oh! I had one, and I'll share it. I was in a band for a little while, you know, high school band.
Big Diamond.
We thought we were
108-pound wuss.
Yeah. Our first name was Skin Flint.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's a real name too, and we did exactly what you're talking about. We flipped up the dictionary. And we're like, that one.
And Skin Flint
one.
Huh?
I don't even remember what the definition is anymore, but you can look it up. Hashtag Dear America. If you look up Skin Flint,
let us know.
Let me know. What?
I don't think that's going to trend.
No, probably not. But
Google.
No, that was the first.
None the wiser.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
And Cool Matters.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's not great. That's not amazing.
The best band I was in, I was pretty proud of the name. It was Three Is Fallen.
Yeah.
That's good. Anything with numbers was good.
Anything was good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Three Doors Down.
Anything with a number was good.
Yeah.
Blink 182.
Yeah, really. Exactly.
They're my favorite, man.
Do y'all
Blink
still sell?
Blink 182 was my all-time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do y'all still sell? So me and my sister saw y'all at Skate Zone in Columbus, Mississippi.
Skate Zone.
And then we followed y'all. I have pictures with y'all, actually.
Awesome.
Side note. But we were one of the first, like, little skillets. Do y'all still sell those?
We do not sell little skillets
anymore. Well, I have one. Maybe they're worth something.
Yeah, I think they're probably worth a ton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dang it. Where is it?
It's right up there with the Michael Jordan rookie card.
I had them, the little tiny skillets y'all used to sell.
All right, so let's get into some meat and potatoes stuff here, all right? Let's get into serious things.
Oh,
so,
I'm ready.
So I promised we wouldn't go political, so I'm not going to go political, all right? But there's a lot of people. You have stepped out a little bit lately in regards to Christianity and things like that. And so there's a lot of people that wrote, I love the fact that John is speaking out on Christian issues. Does he plan on continuing? A lot of people wanted you to expand on the CNN article that you recently just put your thoughts about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so we have had this conversation a lot that I believe that one of the worst things that ever happened to the church is the 501c3 thing, the tax exemption, because what it did, it was originally meant to like separate church from state and all this stuff. But what it did was it kind of put a muzzle on the church and pastors and all this stuff.
I see.
Because basically because it's 501c3, they're like, well, you know, you really can't talk about this.
Yes.
Because if you talk about this, then you could lose your 501c3, like abortion and things like that. Because even
we just saw in the debates this week.
Yeah, exactly.
With Beto. And
exactly.
Stuff, right? Okay, I'm trending with you now. I forgot it was called
501c3. Yeah,
that's what it's called. But I'm with you.
Tax exemption status for churches.
Got it.
And I just think that it actually just, I mean, it really crippled the church's ability to, do I believe there should be a separation between church and state? Yes. But I do think that it's our responsibility as Christians to remind everybody, hey, if you're a Christian, this is what you should be standing for.
Right.
And so I guess I would love for you to say why you felt the need to start speaking out about those issues. And yeah, I mean, do you see that as something that you may want to continue to do? Have you faced any backlash over it? I mean, all that kind of stuff.
All right, so yes, I want to continue doing that.
Yeah.
I assume I'll probably be ramping that up even more, I assume. It's an interesting thing for me because when I first started 20 years ago,
yeah,
I was a bit more vocal. Like, this is a little reminiscent of then. I'm going to share something that maybe not everybody will care about.
Do it.
This is really entertaining.
Yes.
You'll hate this.
Turn it off.
Love it.
I think some people will like this. When I first started, I would share things like this from stage, whatever, and I just found that the Christian music industry was not accepting of what I was saying. I felt they were almost offended, almost like, dude, you're getting way too intense. And I would get on stage and be like, look, we're going to play this song for you guys. This song is called, you know, X, Y, or Z. And I would say, this song is about the fact that Jesus is either everything or he is nothing.
Right.
And then people would be like all offended. Well, then the next artist would come on after us and be like, yo, we're going to have a party for Jesus.
Everyone
and then
loves
everybody's
Jesus.
Singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like.
But that's why I loved you. In the early days, I remember you doing that. Y'all.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Well, I think the people that liked it really liked it.
Oh, yeah.
It,
okay. Well, that made
but,
me.
Which were the awesome people.
That's right.
Yeah.
The amazing ones.
Those were the right people.
The right people.
Yeah, they're correct.
But I just found that we were getting less gigs. We did have people were like, you're just offending people and you're making people. And I felt that the church just wasn't into it. And so I was like, all right, I'm making people mad. Maybe there's a better way to get my message across. And what I think has happened over this last 20 years is that the church has been trying to make young people happy by, in my view, not speaking truth and not speaking out about issues that the Bible seems to be pretty clear about.
Right.
And because they're like, hey, we don't want to be too offensive. And I mean, it's not every single week there's a new article that comes out from millennials saying this is why we're leaving the church, they never listen to our ideas and we're all gone, and the church. And so I think the church's response to that has been, we don't need to be so black and white about truth and love people. And so a lot of churches, in my view, boiled it down to this: love God with all your heart and love people, and that's all that really matters.
I agree.
But if you don't teach what it means to love God, then people just attribute their own ideas of love to what Jesus is into, you know? So they go, well, this is what love means to me, and I know God is love, so therefore Jesus must be into X, Y, or Z. Yeah.
Right.
And so what really was hard for me is that I go on tour with a lot of Christian artists. Some are amazing and love God, and I really respect them. Some of them, I'm like, I am not sure that you're saved. We talk about the Lord, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think that you are, but you're the worship pastor for the tour. It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
And I found myself talking, and I try to talk to younger people about what the word says on the road sometimes, and they just don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And I started noticing there's this bizarre trend of people that are like, oh, no, I'm totally into Jesus. I just don't really believe in the Bible. And so I started going, okay, this is a new thing.
Yep.
This is a new thing that we're seeing in society.
That kind of, those two things kind of go hand in hand with each other.
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
To me, it is the spawn of postmodernism, of how postmodernism has taken over. Now we're seeing academia, of course, social media
Peterson,
culture.
Jordan Peterson fan?
Yes, I am. Yeah. And you're seeing it everywhere now.
Yeah.
Now that is coming into the church too. Like, hey.
Yeah.
God is love, and we can all have different ideas of what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, you know what? If this costs me fans, I don't even care. This is too much, and the church is not doing her job. And I just thought, I'm going to write something might cost me fans. I don't even really care. But the amazing thing happened was I wrote something, and then it's like the sleeping majority of Christians in America were like, hey, I've been thinking that too. Dude, we've been talking about it at dinner.
Yep.
I've been talking to my pastor.
You tapped
about
into
that.
My whole business
That's
model.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's like, all his friends probably.
No. Well,
it's true, right?
We discovered something very similar when we started doing all of this stuff. You know, we couldn't really figure out why it was taking off the way that it was, and people talk to us all the time, and we realized that on the political side that we live in such a toxic political environment that people truly feel like shackled, if you will, like they cannot say what they really want to say because they'll lose their job.
Right.
They might be, honestly, even spouses, like feel like they can't even talk about it because their spouse is complete opposite. You know, the world has shrunk in the past 20 years, especially where now it's not uncommon from someone from lower Alabama to marry someone from New York City. And you want to talk about two completely different worlds meeting now. And that's where this whole "we'll say it for you" thing kind of started. And I think you tapped into that a little bit because there are a lot of Christians that are sick of this tiptoeing around kind of thing. I got in trouble on Twitter a couple months ago. Go
Shocking.
Figure. I said something along the lines of, you know, Jesus doesn't care about your feelings. Jesus cares about you knowing the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
and,
right.
And, you know, when it comes to the eternal soul and, you know, where are you headed when this is all over? Your feelings don't matter in that. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
you either know the truth or you don't. Now, as Christians, once we know the truth and we accept Jesus into our heart, then it is our obligation to love as Jesus loved, right?
Right.
But loving someone is not agreeing with someone. In fact, truly loving someone is actually that person that'll tell you, hey, buddy, you are jacking it up
now,
and you need
exactly
to fix yourself
right.
immediately. So many people are concerned about tiptoeing around those hard issues now, and I think it's just fear. Like, the church seems to be afraid.
I do think that's the case. I think the church is kind of like, I think that the church is full of mainly really great people.
Oh yeah, of course.
I
which
agree.
I think we you know, most people kind of agree on, but I think that a lot of people don't know what to do.
Yeah,
and we don't have like relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, I think as you just said, I think there's really wonderful good faith arguments to have.
Of course,
whether it's on politics.
Yeah,
right. Everybody, literally everybody that works for me is fairly hyper liberal, atheist, agnostic. Out of my 15 employees, you know, well over half of them, we wouldn't agree on anything about anything, but we're best friends. And I
right.
think
yeah.
there's good faith in the church, whether it's about the issues you mentioned. There are things that we can talk about. I think what we're missing a lot of times is the relationship aspect.
Right.
And because social media and everybody wants like their little bite, they want to say, well, are you okay with ABC? And like, I'm not here to tell you what you're doing is wrong. I'm here to say that what we're all doing is wrong. That's the point.
Yeah.
And then in relationship, I think you can begin to have those conversations.
Yeah.
And there are tons of things to talk about. I'm always like, man, there's so much to... Nobody ever asked me, well, John, do you have a problem with premarital sex? Well, John, do you have a problem with smoking cigarettes? You know, nobody asked me those kind of things.
Yeah.
They just want these trigger things.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's not even the point. The point is in church, we should have relationships. My pastor talks to me about the way I raise my kids, you know, in a relational way.
Yeah.
So, John, what do you think about that? Do you think you should spank them or not? We talk about it, you know. And so I think that the church could be doing a better job. I do think we're afraid, and I don't think that's good.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Christians should feel that we need to apologize for God.
Yeah.
He's right, right?
And I think the church is also failing, sorry, churches, but on relational. Like, I love mega churches, I do, but I mean, God started community churches, and I went to a mega church, I'm fine, but I think they're failing on the relational aspect a lot of times too. So we go to church, but there's no community there, and you need community.
Yeah,
and not just in the church. I think that it's all that's also, I think, an effect of just culture.
Oh, and
yeah.
Social just media, don't have you don't have to go out, you don't know your neighbors anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, you can to me. I do know what you're saying. For me, I found it's easier to have relationships in a smaller church. But
yes.
I have friends who, you know, are pastors at massive churches. And he's like, dude, we've got so many small groups, and we have home groups, and we have this, and if you want relationship, it's here to be had.
Yeah.
But people don't like to be challenged. They don't. They don't like somebody going.
That's true too.
Well, what about this? So I think you're right. I think that there's a difference between accepting somebody and like endorsing somebody.
Agreed. I think there's issues on both sides. Like Alyssa made a good point, and I agree with it. But then you also made a good point as well. You get these people that come into church expecting it like full service catering, like 5-star restaurant type experience, right?
Right?
I mean, you know, like you didn't greet me at the door the right way, or nobody, you know, only 3 people shook my hand, and as big as this church is, 7 people should have shook my hand, you know.
at least,
you know, do you know who I am, you know, kind of thing. And it just seems to be, and again, I promise I wouldn't get political, and I'm not, but I think that can transfer into basically everything across our society now, is that everybody just expects things, and they just, it's this entitlement generation. It's this entitled just mindset that we're in, you know, well, you need to accept me like this, or I think this way, so you need to change what you're doing to facilitate me.
My world and the way I view the world.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah,
I think and then you're if right. you don't, you're a bad person.
Well, it's if like, you don't, if you don't, then I hate you now. Yeah. That to me is the biggest difference of all this stuff.
Oh, me too.
You know, I said it millions of times, the agree to disagree is gone. If we disagree politically, now we have to be enemies of each other.
Yes, it's worse. It's worse than traditional religion.
Yeah.
Right? Like there are more Christians and Muslims who are friends in America today than Republicans and Democrats.
I agree that.
And it's kind of like, guys, you know, I do think that people have a misunderstanding of what love is. As you just mentioned, love is serving someone.
That's right.
And love is going, no matter what you do, I'm going to love you. And it's not about what I need. It's about what you need.
Yeah.
And people get worked up about stuff. I can't stand the what you just said. I can't stand that about society, man.
Yeah, well, we deal with it every day in our job.
Like people call you and I'm a Nazi, a racist. You're not, obviously.
Yeah, my manager's black.
Yeah.
The guy that's actually in charge of me
and
is
people call you a racist. You don't.
He's not the one calling you a racist.
Yeah.
No,
he's not calling me a racist.
But you don't negotiate with racists or Nazis, right?
No.
So the left, when they see the right as racist, there's no conversation there.
Yeah.
That's evil.
Well, I will say, in my view, the left is winning. They're winning the word battle, if you will.
Yeah.
And it used to be one thing that I used to couldn't stand about religious people 20 years ago when I was growing up is like there's a Christian artist. I don't even remember who, but played at one of the, I think it may have been when Bill Clinton had won.
Inauguration thing.
Yeah. And a Christian artist played and all the Christians were like, how dare he? He's going to hell. And I was just like, guys,
we're
not allowed to have like friends. I'd play for any president.
Yeah.
I'm putting that out there. I don't care who they are. It's the president.
Old DJT, if you're listening.
But we talked about that. Yeah. Even, you know, we didn't agree with a lot of Obama, and we didn't vote for Obama.
Yeah.
But he was still our commander-in-chief, so I respected our
commander-in-chief. I would play for Obama any day.
Oh, sure. I would have met him.
You never would have threatened him.
And exactly. Yeah. Like, there is a level of respect that just
President
seems
Obama
to
has invited you to the White House. I'm not going. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that
whatever.
Would
I'm going.
I think that Christian people used to be really bad like that.
Yeah,
And I think that they're getting a little bit more like open to the idea of loving other kinds of people.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing something, in my view, that's a little bit from the other side, which is actually very religious, whether it's even atheistic or not. But it's like a religious zeal that you have to win the game. So by calling you he's a nice one.
Well, he's
by calling you a racist,
I'm the horrible one.
You got to call you the worst thing there is.
Yeah.
So because obviously nobody would sit down and have a coffee with Hitler.
You know.
So
I wouldn't do that.
They're kind of winning that game, and I think that it's a social media game partially. And I don't think it's good for society. I think it's really bad.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, I think that. Yeah, Jake's giving me the wrap it up finger. I think that it is this world where we live off clips of people, right?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So you get you know, people think that I'm this highly, like, high-level person, when in reality, I'm normally the quietest guy in the room, normally, most of the time.
Yeah, no.
I'm just kidding.
Calmest guy in the room. Let me put it that way. Yeah, yeah. Calmest guy in the room. You know, people expect this, you know, guy all the time. But that's just the part of me that, I guess, caught on to people. And so people just assume that I'm this brash just person always. And if you really sat down to get to know everyone, you could probably find maybe one or two things, you know, that you, you know, agree with people
have in common.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
But one of the biggest things now is, even if you took your closest friends and you're all, I don't know, conservatives or Democrats or whatever, and you tried to solve a major issue like, well, how do we fix health care? You're not going to agree
right.
with even the people that you think that you're most alike. You guys ain't going to be able to figure that out. And anyway, I just think it's an interesting place that we're in. And we really appreciate you in your world taking time out of your busy schedule to come on and share some of the cool things. This was a good discussion. And I hope that we can do a part two sometime.
Yeah, part two.
Yeah, part two.
I want Corey on next time, too. Another female.
Now, that is something that we do have to do. A lot of people wanted relationship questions, but we shall save that
for when
you and your wife can come on
next time.
Where can people find out? You said you've got three more shows in the state. Where are those at? And where can people find out what's going on with
Skillet
and all that stuff?
Okay. The easiest thing for Skillet, Instagram, Skillet Music, website, skillet.com. Easy to find out. All the tour dates are all on there all the time. My personal is John L. Cooper. You can also find that from the website. Nope. Easy. We're playing two shows in Orlando. Ooh. And off the bat, I cannot remember the other show, but check out all that.
Got you can
the
go new online record. And
look. Go on the
go
world
online.
Web.
This is a test. This is a test.
Remember when you always have to say www before every single. What's the website? www. Yeah.
Thankfully, anyway. People finally figured that part out.
Yeah, you don't have to
that's
say
just,
that.
You know, I don't need to say that. Yeah. You see, so it's Skillet.com.
Skillet.com.
But check it out, and new records victorious. And I appreciate everybody listening. And you know what? Go out. Be nice to some people that aren't like you today.
That's right.
That sounds like a good play.
Hey, really quick, do you have a favorite song? Do you have a favorite on Victorious?
Of my own? Uh-huh. The title track, Victorious. That's my favorite from the record.
Cool. I like that one, too. That's the one that's on the playlist right now, Victorious.
Booyah!
There you go.
Boom. And Savior is probably my all-time favorite song.
Awesome.
I love that one. I know we just said we're going to end it, but I figured that
I like Anchor. I like Saturn Has Its Rings.
A Little More. I love that one off the Collide album. The older
a
I get.
A Little More is good, yeah.
Hero and Victorious is probably the top five.
Dang,
for me.
Very eclectic
kind of
lots of records. So yeah, you're going into deep cuts. Yeah. I love it.
Well, you know I'm not playing when I say I'm a Skillet fan at this point. You know, I got this stuff. Anyway, all right. Alyssa, where can they find you?
Alyssa Allen on Instagram.
And Jake?
Producer_Jake on Instagram.
And I am Graham Allen, but you know that because you're listening to my show. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Dear America podcast, and we'll see you again next time.
Bye. See you.